Well, good morning. And again, if we haven't met before, my name is Bill. I'm the associate pastor here at Mosaic. We're really glad that you're here. We're going to continue our series that we started about 6 weeks ago called This Ordinary Life. Because a lot of times we think God is only found in the extraordinary things, the mountaintops, the mystical experiences. But we're convinced that God wants to meet us in the ordinary as well. And the everyday mundane moments of life, he wants to meet with us too. Those are important times. And so we've explored different ordinary moments where God meets us in sleeping and rest, where he invites us into this daily rhythm of sleeping and rest every day. How do we experience God through the rhythm of eating, through work, through getting stuck in traffic, or getting ready in the morning? These things that we do every day, God wants to meet us. And so today, we don't have a lot of time because of baptisms. And man, Mike, we need to get you preaching again. Come on. That was good. But we don't have a lot of time, so it's going to be a little condensed today. But today, I really want to step into those ordinary moments that we experience that we don't always enjoy, but it's the moments of conflict. So how do we experience God's presence in the midst of conflict? In the midst of interpersonal conflict that we have with our friends, with our significant others, how can God's presence be in those moments as well? And so we've all done some pretty stupid things before, right? Mike shared his stupid moment. For me, I remember when I was living in Scotland, my wife and I, we were youth workers over there. And so we worked with a lot of at-risk kids. They didn't listen very well. You told them to be quiet and they would just get louder. You told them to do something, they would do the opposite. And so we decided it was a good idea to take these kids on a hike up to like a cliff in the city that we lived in Scotland. And so this cliff, it wasn't like one of those nice areas where they have like a fence along the line. No, it was just like a 300-foot cliff face. And so we take these kids on a hike, and then what, like, you have a bunch of kids who are wild and crazy. What are they going to do? Sit on the edge of the cliff. So I look, and then all of a sudden, all these kids are sitting on the edge of the cliff. Their feet are dangling. And I remember I looked at one kid, and he was on kind of like a slope part of the cliff, and my heart starts beating really fast. And so I'm like, Scott! Which is so funny. Of course, his name was Scott, living in Scotland. The name Scott means man from Scotland. So he's sitting on the edge of this cliff, right? And so I say, get off the edge. And he gets up to like pick himself up. No joke, slips. And I was like, he's done. He's a goner. And so I'm looking around for like a bush to hold on to so I could kind of like cliffhanger, Sylvester Stallone style. And then by that time, he kind of like wormed his way up. And I remember in that moment, I was like, I'm never taking kids hiking ever again in my life. But has anyone ever stopped you from doing something stupid? Like, have you ever been about to do something dumb, and then someone's like, that's dumb, don't do that? I've had those moments. I remember I was between jobs when I was living in California, and I got two job offers at the same time. One was valeting cars. And the other was I got a job offer to work at a visual effects company. And so I decided to take the job valeting cars because I thought for some reason it was going to make me more money. And my friend was like, what are you doing? You literally said you want to like work in the film industry. You got a job in the film industry and you're saying you're going to valet cars? That's dumb. And I was like, yeah, you're right. That's dumb. I'm going to take this other job. But has anyone ever spoken a hard truth to you that you needed to hear? I remember just this week I had a friend who I had said some things to him that I didn't mean to be insulting, but they were. And so he met up with me this week just to say, what you said was not okay. And because he chose to step into that conflict, right? Because he chose to actually say, you know what, our friendship means something, and so because of that, I'm going to let you know that the words that you said weren't okay. And he steps into that moment, now the relationship can start to heal. It can start to be repaired. And so this idea of conflict, I think for us in these moments, for us to experience God's presence, it's not about resisting conflict. It's actually about embracing it and stepping into it when it needs to be stepped into. Because we've all kind of reflected on those things that we've done that we probably shouldn't have, or those moments where someone spoke words of wisdom to us to help us avoid something silly, or someone stepped into a hard conversation with us, or you stepped into a hard conversation with a friend because you saw something, something they needed to hear, because you wanted something to be repaired, right? And this idea of conflict is all over the Bible, right? It's probably found in just about every single book of the Bible, conflict after conflict. God calling Moses to go to Pharaoh to say, free my people, right? Right? There's a conflict there, and God is calling them into it. You read through the Gospels and see the amount of times that Jesus steps into conflict with people, the amount of times that he steps in and he calls people out for bad attitudes. He calls out the Pharisees for having bad theology or for abusing their power. This idea is all throughout the scriptures. And I want to point out one in particular today, because it's a moment in time in the New Testament when the Apostle Paul talks about a specific conflict he had with another apostle, Peter. And so we don't have the words up on the screen today, so you're just going to have to listen or follow along if you have a copy of the scriptures with you. We're going to be in Galatians chapter 2, starting in verse 11. Here it is, Galatians chapter 2, verse 11. But when Peter came to Antioch, I had to oppose him. So this is Paul talking. This is what Paul says in regards to Peter. But when Peter came to Antioch, I had to oppose him to his face, for what he did was very wrong. Right? Peter, he kind of gets called out all the time, doesn't he? He gets called out by Jesus for denying him three times, and now Paul's calling him out. So he says, when he first arrived, he ate with Gentile believers who were not circumcised. But afterward, when some friends of James came, Peter wouldn't eat with the Gentiles anymore. He was afraid of the criticism from these people who insisted on the necessity of circumcision. As a result, other Jewish believers followed Peter's hypocrisy, and even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. When I saw that they were not following the truth of the gospel message, I said to Peter in front of all the others, since you, a Jew by birth, have discarded the Jewish laws and are living like a Gentile, why are you now trying to make these Gentiles follow the Jewish traditions? You and I are Jews by birth, not sinners like the Gentiles. Yet we know that a person is made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ, not by obeying the law. And we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we might be made right with God because of our faith in Christ, not because we obeyed the law. For no one will ever be made right with God by obeying the law. And so Paul actually gives us a really good example of what it's like stepping into a hard conflict. Right? This is not an easy situation here. But Paul chooses to say, hey, Peter, like, you're doing something here, and he's stepping into it. Because Peter, what he's doing is, he's essentially, he's living in an old paradigm. Because Jesus, his message and his gospel was not just for a Jewish audience, it was for the world. And so now, Christianity is expanding to the world. And what Paul is seeing is a pattern that's going to stop the world from experiencing Jesus. And it's going to pull people back into a very legalistic way of approaching God. And Paul's saying, this isn't okay. Paul steps into this conflict so that this doesn't continue. And this idea of stepping into conflicts as people who are inspired by Jesus, it's been a part of the church's story even since the New Testament. I was reading a story this week about a theologian who lived in Nazi Germany, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And so when Hitler began to rise to power, Dietrich Bonhoeffer became outspoken against what was happening. There was actually this speech that it was just a few days after Hitler became chancellor of Germany. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he had some time on the radio. And so as he begins speaking out against Hitler, the radio signal actually cuts off. In another article or something that he wrote, he says this. He says, in April 1933, Bonhoeffer raised the first voice for the church's resistance to Hitler's persecution of Jews, declaring that the church must not simply bandage the victims under the wheel, but jam the spoke of the wheel itself. Jam the spoke of the wheel itself. Right? So this idea of conflict, right? It's a part of living a life connected to God, living a life connected to Jesus. Because there's really like, there's two things going on here. Interpersonally, like if you love someone and there's a conflict, you step into it. Why? Right? Why? It's because you love that person, you care about them. If you see something in them that is like, I don't know if that's okay, you're choosing to step into it. You're choosing to step into it because you love them, right? And then we see things in the world that we're like, this is not okay. This thing, this pattern, this way of living, what's happening, big picture is not okay. So we're choosing to step into it. We're choosing to step into the conflict. You know, I think a lot of times what I hear about modern day Christianity is it feels very passive. It feels almost like we're just singing love stories to Jesus. But what God is actually calling us into is to actually live in a place where we're not afraid of the tension, we're not afraid of the conflict, but we actually have the opportunity to step into it. Right? It's like the song we said, God wants to heal the world that we're in right now, and he wants to use us. And sometimes we have to have the courage to say, I'm going to step in. I'm going to step in and I'm going to say something. I was reading a story this week about, it was on a train in India. And this guy, he had noticed on his train in India, there was about 25 young girls on the train that just looked nervous, like things just felt out of place. And so what he did is he sent a tweet to the railroad station to say, this something looks weird. Something doesn't look right. It seems like there's some girls here, they're crying. And so what happened was at the next stop, some officials came on board and they realized it was actually a human trafficking operation. And they arrested two men and there was 26 girls under the age of 18 that they were able to free because of it. It's a moment when this man saw something that wasn't right, something's not okay, and he steps into the tension. I mean, he could have potentially looked kind of stupid tweeting this out, but he chose to step into it and said, and something beautiful took place because of it. And so in our life, right, why do we step into this conflict? Why do we step into these tensions? I think the things that we have to realize is we're not perfect, right? Which means others aren't perfect. We're going to get it wrong sometimes, which means we need people to speak into our life. And really, the question is, are we humble enough to hear correction? Right? Are we humble enough to hear that and to embrace it? And then are we brave enough to step into that tension? And I think as we live in this world, we realize that God is doing something in this world. And God is calling us to actually step out of our comfort zones at times and to embrace that conflict, embrace that tension. And so I wonder where kind of you're at today. Like, as I say these words, like, what is that interpersonally stirring inside of you? Is there someone in your life that maybe you're avoiding the tension, avoiding the conflict with? Is there someone that you know deep down that you're like, I need to step into a really hard conversation? Just like Paul did with Peter, to say, you know, I need to step into this. Or is there something happening in the world that you see and you're like, this is not okay? I don't think this is the way that God wants the world to be. And so I need to choose to be uncomfortable and to step into the tension. And my challenge to you would be this, right? When you step into that conflict, you got to ask yourselves a few questions. And those few questions that I want you to ask yourself is what you are seeing, either in someone else or in the world, is it something that's harming a person? Is it something that's harmful to them? Maybe you're seeing just a pattern of a lifestyle that you're like, that just doesn't seem helpful. Is it harmful to them? Is it harmful to someone else? Are they doing something that you see as harmful to someone else? Is it harmful to the world? And then you have to ask yourself the hard question, is what I'm seeing only just hurting my ego? Right? Is this like when you look back at Paul and Peter's conflict, is this something that's just offending Paul? Or is this something, what's God's heart in this? What's God's heart in this? And I think that's the beauty of the scriptures. It's the beauty of the Bible. It's the beauty of the story that God has given us. Because through it, we actually get to see the heart of God. Through it, we actually get to see what God cares about. The trajectory of how he wants to see the world. There's a huge chunk in the Old Testament, the prophets. And the prophet's job essentially is to say, what is God's heart? And how do we step into the conflict to call out our country, our nation, for turning away from God, for oppressing the poor, for caring more about our wealth than the person right in front of us? Right? It's the prophet's job to continually step into that place of conflict. Because the church's prophetic voice, it speaks truth to injustice. It speaks truth to injustice. And so when we choose to actually, instead of avoid those conflicts, but step into it, because we want to see God heal this world, we want to see God heal relationships, we want to see God heal us, or heal the person we're married to, or heal our friends, whatever that is, we step into it because we want to see God's healing come everywhere, in our lives, in the people we love, and in the world we live in. And so the church has this prophetic voice, right? The church's prophetic voice is to consistently show people God's heart. And when there's something happening in someone's life in the world that doesn't reflect God's heart, we talk about it. We step into that conflict. We step into that tension. And it's not always easy, right? It's not easy because we get it wrong too, which is why we have to continually do that hard work ourselves and ask ourselves the question, God, is this what you want? And the beauty of the gospel is this, right? And the beauty of baptism is that we are essentially in conflict with God ourselves, right? God has created a perfect good world. And when we self-reflect, we have to admit that we have done things that have gone against God's good world. And the beauty of the gospel is this, is that God's grace is always waiting to embrace us. That healing and restored relationship is always present right in front of us. And baptism is such a beautiful reflection of that because we in this moment now have this choice to say, am I going to choose to continue to live in conflict with God? Or am I choosing in this moment now to say, God, I want to restore this relationship? And so maybe for you today, that's the tension that you need to step into. To say, God, I need you to restore, and I want to restore the relationship that we have today. Would you pray with me? God, I pray that you will very clearly speak to our hearts this morning. As we wrap up this morning, it's really easy to just kind of just think about what's next, where are we going, what are our lunch plans. But God, I just pray in this moment that you will speak very clearly. Speak very clearly to us who are sitting here in this room. God, we want to hear your voice. God, for all my friends who are here who have some type of interpersonal conflict that they feel like they know they need to step into, God, I pray that you will give them the courage to do that. that you will give them courage to step into that tension because they want to see that relationship restored and healed. God, I pray for all my friends who are feeling that there's things about the world that are just not right. God, I pray that you will inspire their imagination and help them to figure out how they can step into that conflict, step into that tension, so that we can see your kingdom come and your will be done. And that situation that is not right. And God, all of us in this room, all of us, we've done things. We've gone against your good world. And so God, today, we pray that we will walk forward and our relationship with you can be restored. That we will confess those areas that we are in conflict with you. That we won't avoid it, but that we will name it. That we will speak them to you. We will seek your forgiveness because we know redemption and restored relationship is always in front of us. And so God, help us to feel your spirit as we confess to you. God, help us to feel your spirit as we're inspired to see this world we live in now restored, to see your world healed and your kingdom come and your will be done in our lives and in Lincoln, Nebraska, as it is in heaven. Thank you, God. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So I know interpersonal conflict is really tricky and really complicated. And it takes a lot of hard work. So what I want to say just kind of in closing is this. It's realizing that having a conversation, stepping into a conflict, a tension with a friend, a family member, a spouse, a child, a parent, those moments where you're choosing to step into it, those are just as holy as someone saying something to stop human trafficking, right? God's presence is found in those simple moments when we choose to seek resolution, when we choose forgiveness, when we choose love. God is found in those moments. And those moments, don't avoid those moments because something significant can happen. So be inspired. As you go, don't let this weigh you down. Don't let this fill you with guilt. But see this as an opportunity for God to do something really special this week in your life and in the world. So now we got work to do, right? Because the work is done 7 days a week. God's work isn't just done on a Sunday morning. It's done in all those little pockets and corners of your life, in your home, in your work, in your school. And God is at work, and he's doing significant things. Let's open our eyes, let's open our ears, let's open our hearts and our souls to be attentive to what he's doing in our life. All right, go in peace, Mosaic. Love you guys.